Oh, yeah. We've got we have this is the most funny this is the most fun I've had since I got my rubber duck for the bathtub. That is I'm not gonna say any more right now. This is a family show, I guess.
I'll believe it.
Hey, welcome everybody to the 193rd meeting of Thinking Out Loud with Friends. Of course, we've had different names over the period of time, but hey, what's in a name, right? What's in a name? Welcome everybody. How's everybody doing? I hope you're doing great. Before we go any further, just let me give you the ground rules. Anything goes. Just remember, everything you hear today is an opinion. And so welcome. Hey, anybody have anything they want to say before we get into some of the subjects I'm hoping to talk about today?
I only say goodbye early. I'll be leaving in 15 minutes. I have to go out tonight. So,
Oh, well, that's something like something out of the Marx Brothers. I
hello, I
only
must be
came to
going.
say I must be going.
And where maybe where are you off to, David?
Gonna see a Romeo and Juliet, a modern version of it, at one of the big theaters in LA. So.
Is this one of those versions where they actually kill their parents instead?
I don't think so.
Oh.
It's a famous version. It's out on a national tour.
All right, for those people in Hollywood that just heard my concept idea for the new Romeo and Juliet, just remember, you owe me a commission there. Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, what's going on with the Grammys? Are you doing anything with the Grammys this week? Hello?
Not
Who are
that
we
I
talking
know
to?
of. Are you,
Talking to
David?
you.
You're the only one in Hollywood.
No, heck no, I have nothing to do with the Grammys. That was a long time ago.
A long time ago in a land far away. No,
No,
hey, guess. Joni Mitchell's gonna perform. 80 years old, she's gonna perform.
and she never has before.
That's right, it's the first time. The first time at 80 years old. I'm kind of curious to see what kind of performance she's gonna do at 80. I mean, it's impressive that she's gonna be performing. And then, of course, U2 is gonna do something from the Sphere. I'm not really sure. It's gonna be, according to what I'm reading here, the U2 will make history with the first ever broadcast performance from the Sphere. And then, of course, they got other performers as well. Burna Boy, Luke Combs, Billie Eilish, Billy Joel, Dua Lipa, Olivia Rodrigo, and Travis Scott. So, with that, David, we'll say 73s, 6-2 and even. Just remember to give us a like on Facebook and YouTube and follow us. All right, we'll be talking about you after you go, so you're gonna have to listen. All right,
Okay, bye.
you'll
Bye.
defend
Have a
yourself
great
next
week.
week.
Enjoy.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. The Grammys. I don't think people are really watching it. But maybe with this lineup, people will be watching it. Greg, do you have your tuner set? You have your VCR or whatever you use to record TV? What do you use to
I've
record
been,
TV these
my
days?
background's been cloned. I protest.
Ah, your background is perfect. We've got it.
Oh,
We've got
there
it.
it
We've. I'll tell you, Kurt's looking for a new profession. I have to tell you. So
is.
I guess the sound business, moving on. Photoshop editor
I had that
extraordinaire.
background already in my library. I think it's a stock background, isn't it? Yeah, it is the stock background. I'll switch to space junk.
Well, it's good to see you out of space. That's all I could say. So anyway, we were talking about the Super Bowl before we went live, and it is pretty exciting what's going on. By the way, I have a house for rent in Las Vegas. Just DM me if you're interested. It's $10,000 a day, and you have to provide your own food and transportation. All right. So there you go. But have you heard about the ticket prices
Yeah,
of
they're
what's going? I mean,
ridiculous.
it's the most expensive ticket prices in the history of the Super Bowl. Pretty impressive, eh?
They say that every year, though.
Yeah, people must
But,
think it's they're going to a Taylor Swift concert. I don't know. What the hell?
well, if you look at who's all going to be there, it's like, so I've been watching the news, and it's for like the first 2 days or the first day after the Chiefs won, it was like, is Taylor Swift going to be there because she's going to be in Tokyo, Japan? Did she make it back? And everybody's like, yeah, she's going to be there. So I think that's got to do with the ticket prices. And you got to look at the last time this happened was at the beginning of 2020. And then like a month later, COVID broke out. So now people are trying to think, oh, is this going to be a repeat of 2020? But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the 49ers and Chiefs battle it out again.
Didn't she turn down being the halftime performer?
You think
now she knows that her boyfriend's going.
Yeah. Yeah, she did turn it down, actually. Because they had already booked their Asian tour at that time.
And now she's got to get an Airjet and fly back Saturday night?
Yeah, well, it's a heck of a 17... lot easier to fly one person back rather than, you know.
Well, she's got her
17 hours ahead.
I mean, they have reporters on most newspapers now that are just dedicated to Taylor Swift news. It's nuts. It's crazy. I mean, again, she's a billionaire. I mean, she became a billionaire in, you know, I mean, that last tour, and she's still on it. Just in America alone did $1 billion. And there are multiple governments right now that are begging her to come to their country because of the revenue that it generates.
And she's not even done in the U.S. yet. And she's not even done with her U.S. tour. She's coming back next or later this fall to finish up her U.S. tour. She's got.
When did she call you, Josh? When did she call you? When did she tell you this?
I heard it from soundbroker.com.
Good retort. Very good retort. We'll keep you around. I like it. A man who thinks on his feet. Actually, he's sitting on his ass, but he's still thinking on his feet. I love it.
I'll wait for my commission check on that one, Jan.
Yes, that's it. You know, check the mail. You know, it's slow, but it comes. Hey, but Usher's doing that. He's headlining the Super Bowl. But there's a bunch of other people that are playing this year. Post Malone, Reba McEntire, Andrea Day. They're going to be pregame performing. Let me see. McEntire Country Music Hall of Fame will sing the national anthem, and Post Malone will sing America the Beautiful. Andrea Day will sing Lift Every Voice and sing, let's see, that's about it, you know. They're all nominated. I'm surprised Billy Joel is not going to be doing anything. His record comes out today. His new record comes out today. Has anybody heard it yet? Anybody planning on hearing it?
It's just a single, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's a full album.
No.
He's going to be here.
The single is coming out February 1st, which I guess is tomorrow for you and today for me.
He and Sting are co-headlining a stadium tour. They're going to be here the third week of March in Tampa. So,
yeah, I want to get the Geritol franchise for that show. I would like to be able to sell Geritol over there.
You should get Geritol for the Stones tour.
Yeah, Geritol and my Geritol Viagra booth, you know, combination pill. You know, take one, boom, you know, you're feeling good and you're really feeling good, you know.
I still chuckle that the Stone Store is being sponsored by Live Nation and AARP.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Live Nation, Live Nation is now, I'll read this to you. It's from Pollstar. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology, so that's MIT, that's pretty intense. Environmental Solutions Initiative, one of the world's top climate and environmental research groups, will conduct a study of the music industry's, the live music industry's carbon footprint, while funding from Warner Brothers Music Group, Live Nation, and Coldplay, the band. Unbelievable. The report is expected to suggest practical solutions to reduce the environmental impact of live music events at every level, from pubs, clubs, and stadiums, according to the press release. We have a link on that. We'll throw that into the chat. I never even thought about that as far as, you know, the environmental imprint.
I hope that means fewer video screens.
You know, that's an interesting thing about LED screens and you know, how that if you're going to buy an LED screen, you got to buy of an abundance of extra panels because they make them in lots. And if the one of your LED panels, which is like 1 foot by 1 foot, goes out, you can't color match it with a new panel. It has to be from the same lot. Does anybody understand why that is?
Break in time and the LEDs, you know, they're basically just, well, they're diodes and they burn out. They burn out after a while.
Well, now I know why I consider myself a diode. Oh my God.
No.
See, I'm burning out. Damn.
So with video wall then, Greg, is it better to burn out than to fade away?
Depends if you're the Grateful Dead or not.
That's real young.
Not fade away, you know?
They're playing the sphere. It's going to be an absolute disaster audio-wise. I got to get a hold of Derek and ask how he's going to deal with 90 milliseconds of...
Oh, yeah. That's right. When are they playing?
After Fish. It just came out today.
It's Dead and Company, right, with John Mayer?
Yeah. I don't know if anybody knows that they have 90 milliseconds of throughput delay. That doesn't work with live instruments in the same room.
We're going to find out, and maybe people in the room are going to find out the hard way.
Yeah. You know, Ted's videos from that in Friday night's rooms, share file.
Yeah.
His videos are up there. So yeah, that he took right beside the drummer. And you can hear the delay right there where the drummer hits, and then you hear the PA. It's about 90 seconds there.
So he didn't have an NDI or an NDA.
You can film
a live show
on the live show.
Not on a live show.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, he was there. He was there on the third night of YouTube.
Interesting. I'll have to go look at that, and I'll report back next week if I do look at it. You know, but just remember, like I said, everything you hear today is an opinion. Do your own research. You know, you never know who's bullshitting you. Yeah, that's a fact. All right, but here's something that's not a bullshit story, although it is a bullshit story. Madonna is being sued. Did you hear about this? Madonna being sued, and she's being sued by a couple because of her recent Brooklyn concert. She started hours late. Like the concert was for 8 o'clock and she didn't come on stage till after 11. And they're suing her for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons is, of course, by the babysitter. They had to hire a babysitter. They had to leave the show early. There was no transportation because all of the Ubers and the taxis and mass transportation slows down late at night. And so she's being sued. Anybody have any opinion on that?
Yeah, well, she should be sued. I mean, if she started that late, then yeah, why not?
And she was actually in the building at the time too, which is worse, you know.
Yeah, she did it on purpose. I mean, you know, it's like she did it on purpose. Now, I remember the most notorious band at the time for doing that was Guns N' Roses.
No, Sly Stone had them beat.
Oh yeah. Man, yeah, Sly Stone
Leonard
didn't even Skinner show up.
Was right up there too. Skinner had to be drug on stage.
Yeah, but Sly Stone had a good excuse. He was so high all the time. You know, just remember it's an opinion. You know, but I remember that. You know, I'm pretty sure that he would not disagree with that. You know, I'll bet sometimes he was so high he couldn't find the door. You know, so to get onto stage. So
yeah,
but anyway. So a lot of you guys
that's the case with Madonna though.
No, she seems to me like somebody who is into organics and, you know, won't eat meat, that kind of stuff. I get the feeling she's that kind of person. But the reality is that it's unconscionable that she'd make people wait for her, you know, 3 hours before she'd go on. It's just crazy. That's just bullshit, complete bullshit. And I hope these, you know, although I'm anti-lawsuit, I think that these people really do have a good class action suit against her for starting the show so late intentionally. you know?
Yeah, it was like, the opening act was a DJ, you know? And which, interesting, I'm told by several people who saw the U2 show, the opening act for the U2 show at the Sphere is also a DJ. So,
well, I guess a DJ would be the easiest, the most easiest form of being able to play music in the Sphere without any delay being an issue.
True.
I would bet.
Live instruments, you know? Problem.
Yeah, live instruments. That would be the problem, you know, the live instruments. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, but I can't see, I've never been inside, but I don't really see how they would be able to sell that many seats for a live DJ without people being able to dance. And I don't think they have, I don't know how big their dance floor is, but, you know. But that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's just, you know, my opinion on it. And of course, my opinion's not that bad. So one thing that I know is going to affect us all, and that is independent contractors. You know, the difference, you know, we've all had that problem about hiring people and the difference between an independent contract and an employee. And there is a great article in ADP, which is our payroll service, that I saw, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it and get your opinion as well. Let me just read my notes here. The U.S. Department of Labor, DOL, has published a final rule that will change the test for determining whether a worker is an employee or an independent contractor. Now, Greg, that would affect you for sure. I know it would affect David. It probably affect Josh. I mean, I think it affects everybody in the room and employers as well, like Kurt, right?
Probably doesn't affect Wayne because he doesn't live in the United States.
Well, we're going to make it affect Wayne. That's it, because Wayne's been too quiet. So I'm going to have to sue him. That's all there is to it, but not talking.
Wayne needs to switch from cornflakes to Wheaties.
I've gone on Wheaties this week.
Gone to Wheaties?
Yeah, I got the Wheaties. I ran out of Uncle Toby's oats. And
there you go.
I haven't got any Kellogg's this week. But I've got plenty of energy. I'm effervescing today.
And I was really enjoying your Marcel Marceau impersonation there. It was, you know, sorry for blowing it up for you.
Yeah, speaking of that, I'm still waiting on two 1099s from broadcasters. I don't know if Fred has that problem.
Don't they have to have it? I think is the date.
They have to have it postmarked today
by the end of January. Yeah, by
they
the
have
day.
To have it. They have to have it postmarked by the 31st January.
Yeah,
that means I
don't think it's a problem for Fred because he seems to have turned into some kind of a deity with a halo of light illuminating from his head.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me read
you a little
bit.
He's doing a basketball game right now live. He's in the truck.
Yeah. Yep. From the Walter Cronkite Center in Arizona, you know. Anyway, the new independent contractor test and key points to know. The new test, the DOL uses an economic realities test to determine who's considered an employee or who's considered a contractor. And, of course, it's a little bit of legal mumbo jumbo, but at best, I'm going to go down the return to totality of the circumstances economic reality test, where no single factor or group of factor is assigned any predetermined weight, and consider six factors instead of five. So basically, one, the opportunity for profit and loss, depending on managerial skills, investments by the worker and the employer, degree of permanence of work relationship, the nature and degree of control, extent to which work is performed as an integral part of the employer's business, and skill and initiative. We'll throw the link in so you could read about it. But I think this is, you know, this gig working society has really changed everything. And especially, you know, regarding, you know, people who depend on, you know, gig work to stay alive, you know, because you know, Kurt, you can't hire everybody. You got to have some independent, you know, like, for example, you go into a show, you might need some laborers for load in, but you don't want to put those guys on your employee, you know, roster, because then you have to fire them and then you'd be responsible for unemployment insurance.
It's very complicated, and the state, at least my state, typically has no real concept of what we do. They don't even have a classification because I've had to go through this. And the closest thing they could come up with was backhoe operator.
That really pisses me off. I'll tell you, that really pisses me off, because when you sign up for something, you know, they want to know what industry you're in. And there's never a choice for entertainment industry. Never.
Well, there is, but it's only as a performer or as a venue.
I don't even see that in most cases when you sign up for something and they want to know what profession you're in, you know, what industry you're in.
They don't understand it exists. They think you go into the theater or the arena and all that stuff's magically there and sound comes out. They have no concept of what's involved or that people even do it. They don't even understand. The average person doesn't even understand that we are an industry at all.
I get, yeah, my 1099s. That I get from ABC and Fox and everything like that, that they say I'm an engineer, you know, contract engineer.
Yeah, I had that as a classification when I was being audited once, and they wanted me to provide them with my electrical contractor's insurance and all. And I'm like, I'm not an electrical contractor. And like, well, do you use electricity when you do your stuff? And I said, well, yeah, but it's all temporary. They don't get it. It's, they have no understanding of that we even exist.
Oh yeah,
I just got two, Kirk.
Even when you send things overseas in the NTSA, and the codes, I mean, Tina could talk about how hard it is to find our gear. What we have to list it as. Sometimes we have to list it as radio or television tubes or car stereo speakers rather than, you know, professional PA systems, right, Tina? Okay, thanks, Tina. All right, moving on.
They don't know what a PA system is or that it wasn't already there.
Right.
They don't.
And the other thing I get is they're like, you do something and you're like, oh, you're a DJ. I'm a sound guy. Well, you're in charge. I do sound. I'm not a DJ. I'm not an MC. It's hard to explain to people because they don't even get it.
So many years ago in the Australia town.
Oh, he speaks.
many years ago. If
okay,
you were in
thanks for sharing and now moving on. Oh.
If you were in the audio game or the lighting game, everyone used to say to you, I'm going back 20 years or so, or 30 years ago, they used to say, when are you going to get a real job? Because like Kurt said, the classification didn't exist. Yeah, even in downtown Australia. Yeah. Everyone used to say, oh, when are you getting a real job?
Yeah.
Yeah, when are you getting a real job, Wayne?
I think I'm done with jobs.
Yeah. Well, you and Amelia Earhart, and I want to thank Fred for pointing this out to me. Fred, are you there? Are you there, Fred? We're going to talk about Amelia Earhart now. Does anybody know who Amelia Earhart is?
Yes.
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 You know, anyway, they believe now that they have found, I'll read this, Amelia Earhart, deep sea vision. This guy, Tony Romeo, using sonar imaging on the ocean floor, may have found Amelia Earhart's long-lost plane. The group of underwater archaeologists recently spotted an anomaly in the Pacific Ocean more than 16,000 feet underwater that resembles a small aircraft. They believe that anomaly could be a Lockheed 10 Electra, the 10-passenger plane that Earhart was piloting when she went missing 87 years ago while attempting to fly around the world. And we'll throw the link. It's everywhere. I mean, you don't need our link, but we'll throw the link in. Is that not amazing?
And it's really close to where Wayne is.
Exactly. Or right where Kurt is. That's the background from where they looked out the beach to say, hey, look down there.
Yeah, I was out there earlier looking for door bolts on the sand.
Well, watch out for those Ninja Medusas, man. So, I mean, the thing is, we know her. I was talking to Bo about this, you know, wow, what a major, you know, and she said, who's Amelia Earhart, you know? I said, well, you know, her and Charles Lindbergh. Who? Charles Lindbergh? Who is that? Is that like the cheese, you know, Limburger, you know? Woo, 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 woo. Mo, Larry, cheese, woo, 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 woo. You know, I hope I didn't just...
I'm sure she got the Three Stooges reference too, Jen. I'm sure that was like...
Oh, yeah, she loves the Three Stooges. Woo, 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 Mo, Larry. You know, he thinks that's my signature. That's my signature move in bed. Woo, 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 woo. You know, so.
That's what Trump does when he's talking behind the podium.
And speaking of Trump, Elon Musk now announced that the Neuralink is now in action. They've given it to somebody. They've implanted it. And Drudge Report said Musk and Stein is, you know, a relationship to Frankenstein. But basically, this Neuralink startup, they've implanted a chip in a human brain. And basically, they're thinking it could be like telepathy, where basically people who have been completely incapacitated, can't move their limbs, now paralyzed, can think. Yeah. And that's another word for it. Yes, thanks, you know. Thanks very much for that. Yes, they're paralyzed. They would now be able to. I mean, and they're saying, just imagine if they were able to plant this in Stephen Hawking, what he might have been able to do. So, I mean, it's
Stephen Hawking would have been interesting too.
Yeah, with the Neuralink.
I'm just using his actual last name. That's all.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking. Yeah. So anyway, it's pretty amazing. They put the chip in with a robot, and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's pretty exciting stuff. I mean, you know, technology of how they they're curing illnesses right now is pretty impressive. I guess I'm the only one that thought that was impressive. All right, well, maybe you'll like this one.
It is impressive.
I'll tell you something that's impressive, right? So a man was on a plane sitting on the tarmac, right, down in Mexico, and he opened the emergency exit and walked on the wing while he was sitting on the tarmac. And he was arrested. But the passengers on the plane all wrote a letter. They all signed a letter. They passed a letter around the plane demanding that nothing happened to this passenger. And the backstory is that they were sitting on a runway for 5 hours with no food or water. They wouldn't serve them anything. And the pilot wouldn't put on, I believe, the pilot had shut off the air conditioning as well while waiting for a maintenance crew. And so this guy couldn't take it anymore because it was getting hot and stuffy. So he opened the emergency door and went out on a wing. And everybody on the plane signed a petition to let this man go free because he did a brave thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they all should have walked off. I mean, it's ridiculous. After 2 hours, you know, just like the incident out here in Las Vegas where people were throwing up and using the bathroom on themselves. You know, that's just a ridiculous notion to keep people on a plane for 5 hours with no food, yeah, no water, no air.
So to reward this guy, the Mexican government is flying him over the spot where they found Amelia's airplane, and they're going to dump him in there and say, hey, there you go. Do your thing. You know, that's about it. So it'll be it. Well, anyway, okay.
Really, Dan? Really?
I have a question on why would they make everyone stay in the plane instead of go to the terminal, back to the terminal.
Well, they can get paid for those hours as long as the door is shut.
For five
That's
hours?
That's one reason. It's one
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, they won't get paid. If they have to go back, they will not get paid.
Wow.
Yeah. They only get paid for flight time. But yeah. there's probably another reason as well. And that is once they get off the plane, it becomes really difficult and costs so much to put them back on the plane, the tickets, all of that, you know, all the aspects of reboarding the plane becomes extremely difficult and very expensive, and also could be a security risk.
Yeah, I get that.
By the way, just an FYI, in case you know anybody with Alzheimer's, you know, just remember, I'm not going to go into that old joke about the Alzheimer's, but I will say there's a new blood test now that screens for Alzheimer's, and it's might be it almost might be there right now. Very, very close to taking a drug test that will tell you if you're going to have Alzheimer's, and possibly be able to, you know, give you a little bit of chance to prevent it from happening, you know, and work on it so that it doesn't really affect you as bad as it would be by surprise. But the question is, do you want to know you have Alzheimer's?
Yes.
And if you do have Alzheimer's, will you remember?
I have a new disease though called Sometimers.
Yeah. Now, having a partner who is currently in a memory care unit, I wish I would have known that. I wish they would have had that test about 8 to 10 years ago, and we wouldn't be in this situation right now. So
it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing for sure. You know,
that's really the reason why I didn't laugh at your joke. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's not the only reason people don't laugh at my jokes. Usually the reason they don't laugh at my jokes is they're just not funny, you know. And if you've got to explain a joke, forget it. The joke is that it is no joke. speaking of no joke, take a guess. 45 billion. What do you think 45 billion represents?
Another
Cliff
tour?
Ah, good answer. Anyone else? Okay. 45 billion. That's around how many hacking attempts that JP Morgan Chase fights off every day in escalating cybersecurity challenges. 45 billion. Attempts to crack their security every day. And banks across US and Europe have reported a surge in cyber attacks over the past few years. Some that increase have been blamed on rapid acceleration of artificial intelligence and Russia-based cyber crimes. So basically, it's costing about $3.5 billion a year in bank fees that could be eliminated if they could get rid of some of the cybercrime.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, there's this thing, you know, one thing I don't like, and maybe you guys have an opinion on it as well. So basically, if you need to use your credit line, you know, if you write a check or you go over the money that you have in your bank, the bank charges you a fee for that. And the Biden administration wants to eliminate that. And I'm all for it because it's happened to me a few times, even though I've had money. For example, you move money from one account to another, and then you have an automatic charge that is set to hit, and you think you've timed it right, but you haven't. And now it has to go into your credit. So they give you a $35 fee plus interest, plus, because you missed the payment, you know, because they laid out that money for you for one day. What do you guys think of that? Do you think that's a good idea to get the banks to stop doing that, or a bad idea?
They'll just find another way to make up that lost revenue. It's not really going to matter.
Yep.
Most of the bank income right now is made on fees, by the way.
The moment that was mentioned, I'm sure their task force with all those large institutions as to, okay, if that goes away, what are we going to do here? You know, It's going to cost you more money to open up a checking account, or you're not going to get as much. The interest fees on their bank credit cards are going to go up by 0.25% or 0.25%, which will make up for that money that they lose.
Yeah, I agree with Greg. I mean, there's no way they're going to let their bottom line be impacted. They're just going to pass the savings along to the consumer.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they'll definitely pass the savings on to consumer. That's that. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
In the bizarro world, maybe, but not in this world.
Well,
it's like people that said, oh, you know, you hear all the time, oh, the rich don't pay their fair share of taxes. Okay, so then their thing is tax more on the rich and less the poor. Well, you're still going to get screwed because say you got a guy that say got $500 million and they tax him like crazy, or he doesn't want to lose money, so he's gonna go and say, okay, I'll pay my taxes, but you know what? All the costs of all my services we're gonna jump them up by like 10%. So you're gonna be paying more, and he's still gonna be making his money, and it's not gonna help out.
Well, the challenge is, Josh, is that it's hard to raise your rates. In certain industries, you know, like in my industry, I mean, I can't really raise my rates, you know, nobody, you know, I'm finding right now what we have to discount. Normally we make 15% on anything under 100,000, but I just had to cut a discount to make this sale to 10%, just to make sure that it would happen. Because it's getting tougher and tougher. So I can't pass that cost on to my customers because they just won't pay for it. They just won't pay for it.
Well, it was like I did an install, I think it was about a year and a half ago. I went and I gave them they said, we want to install. So I went and I looked and they said, this is what they want. So I went and I looked and I said, this is the price it's going to be. And at the time, you know, I gave them the price of what the equipment was. I said, this is how much it's going to cost. I said, this quote's only going to be good for, I'm giving you a month for the quote. I said, because a month from now, these prices could all go up or they could all go down. I said, I can't guarantee you. And sure enough, I think a month and a half, 2 months later, they call back. Yeah, we want to do it all. You know, is it still at XYZ? And I said, no. I said, because some of the equipment went up in price. And they threw a fit about it. I said, no. I said, I told you that on the original quote. I said, it was good for 30 days. After 30 days, you have to come back and get a new quote. I say, I can't say, okay, I'm going to do an install for $50,000 in 6 months. And also 6 months coming along and I'm getting a year. And also instead of it being 50,000, it's going to cost me 100,000 and I'm taking a $50,000 loss. I said, you don't know what the prices are going to be a month from now.
Do you only wear ugly sweaters in the holidays and the rest of the year it's black, or what's the deal with that?
I wear different colors all year.
Are you in mourning right now because of what you just said about the $50,000 difference in the? Because
no,
I'm in mourning over that too.
No, we were doing a rehearsal today for a group, and they had a local TV station that's doing a public TV station that's doing a documentary on the group in March. So they wanted everybody to be in, like all the tech people that was involved to be in black. So you kind of you're not seen in the rehearsal. So I'm like, okay, so that's why I'm wearing black today.
If you put that hoodie, you could kind of have a Belichick thing going on.
I don't want to be a Belichick. No, I'm not a Belichick.
Isn't he looking for work right now? Isn't he looking for work, from my understanding?
There's a rumor that he's going to be a consultant now for the Eagles.
We have an expert in the room on this subject. I'd like to introduce once again Tina Finley for her opinion. I guess there's no opinion.
As
all right,
informative thanks. As usual.
The Seahawks hired Mike McDonald.
Oh, there she goes. There she goes. She's getting ready now. It's drum roll, please. Where's the drum roll? Do I have a drum roll? Let me see if I have a drum roll.
I heard the same thing.
Okay, there you go. That's the best I could do.
So the Seahawks hired Mike McDonald and went from the oldest coach in the league to the youngest coach in the league. He's like 35.
Yeah. The Packers just hired a guy from Boston. Or defensive coordinator.
And Michigan's coach Jim Harbaugh went to the Chargers after winning the college football.
Yeah. And Carolina hired Tampa's offensive coordinator.
And Nick Saban retired after all of these years.
Nick Sabo?
Saban.
Nick Saban.
Yeah, Nick Saban.
Oh. Yeah, he Saban retired after all of these years. Alabama. You know? And go figure.
The Huskies coach went and took his place after coming in second. He was here like one.
So there you have it. There we have it.
Did you know Nick Saban was a understudy of Bill Belichick?
Yep.
And that's why I brought. That's why I turned everybody's attention to our resident expert. There we go.
I think Pete Carroll might have been also at one point.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Kurt.
Very, very early, like for 1 year, like right after. I think he was an assistant there for like a year or something. And didn't he coach for 1 year? The Patriots.
Pete Carroll, wasn't he at USC?
Yeah, but he also coached the Patriots for like one season, I think.
I don't remember that.
A lot of people don't know this, but I played in the Pee Wee Herman League with Bill Belichick. And we were actually discussing, you know, we were just, you know, I said, Bill, you know, you really have a knack for this. You should get, you know, you should try to do this professionally. And he said, Jan, that is a great idea. So actually, I am responsible for this guy's career. I want you to know that. Just from the Pee Wee Herman League. That's it, you know.
Everything you hear is an opinion.
So what yes. good stuff
go
did
Google,
you see
go Google Pee Wee Herman League. I think that's another opinion.
What, Greg?
What good stuff did you see at NAMM that will get us all excited?
I saw Ken Newman. And I saw
no, Ken not Parker. People. I mean, what?
And
what
I saw Ted.
Yeah,
Ted is a being of significant stature, and I'm very glad that after all of the poking fun at him I've done, he is not a violent person. He could smite me down with one mighty fist blow, and it would be all over. I had no idea. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it when he's crashed out in his lounge chair, but in person, he's an imposing guy.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
So did you see anything that stood out in your mind as far as any of the vendors? Did you see anything that really, you know?
Well, I think it's more about what I didn't see. And what I didn't see is not a single piece of hardware that has anything to do with anything in the live audio industry from Abbott. Nothing.
Right. Yeah. It was all Pro Tools
and all the cinema stuff and the C series consoles and everything you need in a film or TV studio. Not even a blurb about anything live. No representation of that product line at all. Not a single. But they'll be gone. And I was saying 3 years, and other people were saying I'm being generous.
Well, from my understanding, the bean counters want to discontinue that realm of their business because it's just not profitable enough for
them. It's less than 8% of their gross sales for the entire company. And after being sold three times, I think, those people are just like, what is this? It's like we were just saying, they don't know we exist. I think they're like, why are we bothering with that stuff? Too many resources.
The question is who would be a good match for that line?
It's going to go away.
Well, that's a shame. That's a shame that it would go away.
Well,
but basically, they've got rid of all the people that were there. Yeah. I mean, they got rid of Scoble. They got rid of Marini. You know, they've gotten rid of a lot of people. So evidently, you know, the bean counters are just running the show there now, the engineers.
They're not even advertising. They're not even trying to sell them. When was the last time you saw an ad from Avid for an S6L?
And meanwhile, I've got a guy that would buy one right now if I could find one, but people are holding on to them.
Yeah, but they're gonna, you know what's gonna happen. You won't be able to get faders or support, and there'll be nobody to answer the phone, and there'll be no updates, and they'll just wither on the vine and die.
Well, so, I'm not gonna do what I did again for the profile series, that's for sure. So somebody else would have to do that.
You didn't get your $250,000 out of it already, you're not gonna make your ROI. My opinion.
That's it was one of the most lucrative things I ever did was buying these consoles with the, you know, I was involved. Avid came to me and they said, hey, we need to sell the SXL, so we'll create a trade-in program using Sound Broker, which we did. And it was real. And then what I realized is that Avid was no longer going to support the profile, and there were no parts. So I started cannibalizing the consoles rather than selling them, and I started selling parts. And we were very successful in stripping these consoles down and selling the parts throughout the world. It was a very lucrative thing for us.
I bought some from you, not a lot, yeah. But I did.
But you know, I mean, just but I think.
End up meaning that there's just a complete monopoly with Digico. Like, hopefully it'll make room for like Allen and Heath to move up in the market share.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be room for another console manufacturer. I mean, maybe SSL might come in, you know, another brand, but Allen and Heath is on the precipice of really expanding. And of course you have Yamaha.
Yamaha just, they're exploding with their new DM7 board.
A lot of people like that DM7.
Yeah.
I have not seen it. I want to, but I have not seen one yet. But from people I talked to that have mixed on it and worked on it, they said it's such a nice board to work on.
Did they have one in
Maybe.
Band?
I didn't see a Yamaha presence. There was no Fender. There was no Gibson.
Didn't Yamaha have that room across the way in the Hilton? Normally they have the ballroom in the Hilton where they put all their pianos, and then they got one section for pro audio.
The main stage used to be Yamaha all the time. I don't know what it was this time. It was, and I know Yamaha owns Nexo, but I'm not really sure. I didn't hang out there much, even though I stayed at the Hilton. So I had to walk past it every day, but I never stayed and watched the stage.
Yamaha wasn't the stage outside?
I don't know. They traditionally are.
Yeah, they traditionally are.
I didn't look close enough.
Saw a picture of Pooch. Somebody posted a picture of Pooch doing King's High, and it was a Digico console.
Didn't he win a Parnelli?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So who else did Ken Porter? Did Ken Porter win the Parnelli?
Nope. Shadone did.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, did he win it for Sound Image or for Claire?
Sound Image.
Okay.
Sound Image, Southern California.
Yeah.
Now, do you know if Apex, the stage company, won an award?
That would have been Tech Awards, and I wasn't at that this year.
Okay. I don't know. So tell us about Meyer. What happened at Meyer?
We had a great demo of Panther in a theater nearby, and you know, obviously I've heard Panther a million times, but it was my first chance to hear the new subs, and they're just stunning.
There's
nothing slow or tubby or whatever about that 21-inch driver. It's like Panther, it just goes lower. It's got all the magic that Panther has. It's all got all the punch and the headroom and the linearity. It's incredibly clean sounding.
You're telling me that they have a 21-inch driver in the sub?
Wow.
Yeah, I just ordered 18 of them. Well, I already had 6. I ordered 12 more.
So is there any other manufacturer that's going that big?
I think
mostly subs are 18 inches.
Right.
RCF had one too.
RCF had one. But those tend to be the rap on those was that they were slow and tubby, and you needed an upper bass or low mid driver to fill in that punch. That's not the case at all here. It's a quad voice coil, 8,500 watt box, with active cooling on the voice coil and the amplifier itself, Class D digital amp. It's got the same input topology and data networking as Panther. It's very
now,
much
is it,
more Panther in low end.
Now, is it what's the component of the exterior? Is it carbon fiber? Is it plywood? What is the exterior?
It's a reinforced wood with an exoskeleton with all the rigging. So all the stress and load of any kind of rigging, none of that transfers through the cabinet. But that's how Meyer stuff's been for years. It's all its own frame, and the wood is just there to contain airspace.
So it's designed to fly.
Are we talking about the 2100 LFC?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so yeah, it's designed to fly in... underneath the mid highs.
No, no, they applies as its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
There may someday be some kind of a transition frame, but they don't rig together naturally. No.
Now, well, do people still on the Meyer? Do you still usually stack them on the floor, or now is it only designed to fly?
You can do either. Like mine ride around in carts of three, so I have the center one backwards, and they're just built to roll in and do cardioid. But I have the frames, so if I'm doing a really large place, I'll probably fly the, you know, a column of nine per side, and then put six a side of 1100s on the ground to ground support it. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of PA though. I don't know if I'm going to be doing that often. I mean, maybe the Gorge or Climate Pledge or something like that.
Interesting.
So,
very, very interesting.
Congratulations on opening your Oregon office, Kurt.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we got to get some.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So how's that going?
Well,
or is it too early to tell?
Too early to tell. I mean, Will and I just kind of got things launched, and you know, we're looking for a space. We'll get a space. I'm going to probably partner with a backline guy that's moving to the area that I already do some other work with in Oregon. Yeah, so it'll work. We just have to kind of get gear down there as soon as possible.
Well, very good. Another expense. Good luck. We wish you only the best. We only wish you only the best.
I'll raise my rates.
That's good. I hope you can. I hope you can. And now you can hire more independent contractors well. So what's for dinner tonight?
Not in California, right?
Well, yesterday was Tuesday, so I'm trying to contain my taco problem to Tuesdays now because it was getting a little out of hand. After that whole like cliff climbing hunting accident that I had down in Cabo, trying to get the wild cliff dwelling tacos, I dropped the sauce. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of backing away from that a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you. Just so people who are listening in right now, if you're still with us at 55 minutes into the show, basically every day Kurt posts pictures of an amazing meal that he's made for himself and his family. And so now, how far in advance do you pre-plan these meals?
Oh, about 45 minutes. I go to the store and figure out what I want to do.
Well, you're in the soup, and that's good. All right. Very good. Very, very good. Or you're in the taco dish.
I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. Maybe fish and chips tonight, or maybe a southern thing with collard greens and like a air fried chicken and black beans and rice, something like that.
I got to give Bo your phone number, you know, because basically starting at about 11 o'clock in the morning, just before lunch, she starts asking me, what do you want for dinner? What is it that you want for dinner? And, and if I don't answer her, like within, you know, a 10 second gap, she repeats it. And then all day long, she's asking me, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, and, see, I try that here. And with my girlfriend and my daughter and whoever else happens to be in the house that day, I never can get a response. Nothing. So my plan now is to go to the shop and build a big spinning wheel like an old game show. And I'm just going to put little triangular names of what's for dinner.
There you go.
Wheel of Fortune. Yes.
Wheel of dinner. Wheel of tacos.
Wheel of dinner choices. You know?
They don't answer. They're like, I don't know.
I do.
You know what? What's interesting about that is I got a call today from asking if I wanted to do. They're filming at Ruth Eckert Hall here in Clearwater. They're doing The Price Is Right live, and I got a call and asked me if I wanted to work the show. So they're moving in, you know, with what's his name, Carrie. The Price Is Right is on tour right now, and they're filming all the shows, and so they're going to be here, I think, February 19th.
Is Bob Barker still on the show?
Bob Barker passed away quite some time ago,
but that doesn't answer my question. Is he still on the show? That's what I want to know.
I gotta think about doing a Dancing with the Stars, so we'll see if that pans out.
Oh really? Bob good. Barker's doing Dancing with the Stars now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I got an interesting story about Adam Sandler, you know, and yeah. You know, that's the rest is history. So,
oh, sure.
I got an interesting story about Bob Barker.
You've seen that movie, Greg, but you haven't seen Christmas Vacation, really?
Yes, yeah. I know.
It's Duke.
Did you know that Steely Dan, you know, Fagan and
Walter Becker.
Becker, right. Do you know that when they were in school, they had a band and, you know, Chevy Chase was their drummer?
I didn't know that.
You did not know that either.
I just made that up, but it sounded good, right? No, seriously. Do you Google it? No, I heard that and I said, wow, that makes sense. You know, they went to school together and Chevy was their drummer, you know? So and then he decided to go into acting and they stuck with it to do music.
Did you know that Neil Young and Rick James had a band?
No, what was it called?
I don't know. That's true though. They really did have a band together in Canada.
Well, there you have it. Now we're getting somewhere. So anyway, I'll tell you the story about Bob Barker and The Price is Right. So when I was in seventh grade, we decided we were gonna cut school and go to the city. And there was three of us. It was Lonnie, Amy, and myself. And we took a subway in, for those people that don't know New York, do your own research. But we lived in the Rockaways, and we got on the train. It was a double E ride at the time, and we went to New York City. And while we were walking around the streets, somebody was passing out tickets to The Price is Right. So we went into The Price is Right. And so anyway, you know, we all had perfect alibis, and we go in, you know, so in case, you know, when we got home from school that day, we would tell our parents what we did, you know. Anyway. So we got into the audience, and they put us in the front row of the audience, and we're going crazy with The Price is Right. We're having a great time, right? And it was a special day. It was their 10th or 15th anniversary, and so they showed the audience. And there's the three of us in the front row, and Lonnie's mother was watching The Price is Right and saw us in the audience, and that's how we all got busted.
You were grounded for a month.
Oh, man.
So has anybody ever seen the show called Tales from the Tour Bus? It's about...
No.
It's had two seasons. It's the guy who did Beavis and Butthead, or I can't think of what his name is. Anyway, it's one season was country and one season was R&B. And one of the weeks was Rick James, and it showed him with Neil Young doing that. But Tales from the Tour Bus is something you need to look up and watch. It's just incredible.
So, David, that must have been the shortest version of Romeo and Juliet ever, because you're back.
First of all, it's a dance, it's a dance, not a play, and I'm on my way out the door right now. See ya.
Well, very good. And with that in mind, we are going to get out. We're going to get out of here as well. But before I go, I want to just say that the Polestar co-founder, Gary Smith, he passed away. He was 77 years old, and he brought Polestar. I remember meeting him when he was just starting Polestar. Super nice guy. And so may you rest in peace, Gary. And thanks for starting Polestar. And with that in mind, just remember everything you heard today is an opinion. So do your own research. And as always, before we go, is there anything that anybody wants to say to social media before we go?
Happy Valentine's Day in two more shows.
Keep remembering that. We'll be back for the 194th, and I'm counting on you, Greg Baker. The human mic stand, ladies and gentlemen, is here in our presence. I love it. I love it. I love it. And so anyway, I've enjoyed all of your company again. We're going to stay in the rooms, keep chit-chatting around. Remember my affiliate links. as well. You know, that was a paid political announcement. And what more can I say? We'll have more news next week. Next week, oh, by the way, thanks to Kenny Newman for Knee Deep in Alligators. That was the name of the show today. Basically, and here's an interesting aside with that, is he in our Facebook post, he said that I can't make the show this week. I'm knee deep in alligators. And Bo thought he was literally in with crocodiles. And she says to me, your friend Kenny is in trouble with crocodiles. She took it literally, you know, that because we were watching a movie about somebody lost in the Everglades and he got eaten by a crocodile and I don't know what movie that was, but it was a horrible movie.
Next time she asks, tell her that's what you want for dinner.
Yeah, crocodile. In a while, crocodile, you know. See you later, alligator. And with that in mind, remember, you make it happen. Have a great week. We'll see you again next week. Remember to share the show. And remember, you make it happen. So go out and make it happen. And we will talk to you again next week or sooner. Bye-bye, everybody. And thank you very much for watching and supporting us for all of this, all of these shows that we've done. And next week, I think we're going to talk about how COVID changed everything. So let's do that and talk to you soon. Bye-bye. And we are off the air.